Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the American League All-Star. From the Minnesota Twins, catcher A.J. Piersinski.
Now it's time to meet the 2006 All-Stars. First, representing the American League, from the Chicago White Sox, catcher A.J. Piersinski.
It's this one to left center field. Back it goes. Back. Gone! That was a big home run by Piersinski. And Piersinski down the line and right back. And gone again! And they want the curtain call, and they got it from their catcher, A.J. Piersinski.
Escobar, another strikeout. Piersinski is going down to first. The home plate umpire has now made a call and safe, and the Angels are already off the field. Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series!
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
I know that our producer, Sean Anderson, enjoyed himself cutting that one together. The White Sox winning the World Series. And one of the stars of that team, now an excellent broadcaster for Fox Baseball, is A.J. Piersinski. And he joins Hit and Run right now on 670 The Score on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Good morning, A.J. Thanks for the time. How you doing?
Good. Am I allowed to be on the station?
I know there was a time when you were not. You said no to this station quite a bit. There was a time when you were on a lot.
I didn't know that you guys were the official Cubs radio station. I don't know that they would allow. I didn't know that they would allow me on this.
Oh yeah, no, you're definitely allowed. We talk both teams, especially on this show right here, and both teams are really good and really interesting for the first time like ever. That both teams have been this good and this interesting. I mean, you were part of some great series, but you realize this is a special moment, don't you, in terms of like them both being good and interesting and potentially playoff teams right here?
Well, I mean, 08, we both made the playoffs, I believe. 05, 06, both teams were supposed to be good, right?
Yeah.
It's happened before, but it's always a good thing when both teams are good for the city. Anytime there's a city that has two teams and they're both good and they're both relevant, it's great for not only the city but for baseball because it brings the interest out, it brings the rivalries out, and it's always better when the White Sox win the first two games of a series also.
Hey, well, when they smack the bejesus out of the Cubs as they have the last 2 days, yeah, I'm sure you've been...
That's a nice way to put it.
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, 11 home runs in 2 days. My God, man. But, you know, clearly this White Sox team looks at the Cubs as a measuring stick. I mean, they've said it, you know. Lucas Giolito the other day said, you know, the talent disparity that was there, it's not really there anymore. And Ricky Renteria, who has a history with the Cubs that did not end well, like looking forward to this. Did you look at them as a measuring stick ever? Like in 08, they were good, and they had just gone to the playoffs. Did you go into those series thinking, if we can be that good, if we can beat them, then maybe we can get there too?
Well, I looked at it differently. I always just assumed every team I was on was better than every other team we played against, so it didn't matter. But that was just the way I had to do it. But, I don't know that we looked at it as – when I was with the White Sox, we didn't look at it as a measuring stick because we always just thought we were better. And, I mean – there were years when we probably weren't, but inside that clubhouse, and at least inside my mind, I don't think we ever talked about it. I just know that we always wanted to win those games and kind of put a stamp on the city, I think. But I don't think as far as a measuring stick, as far as who was better. I mean, the first year I was in Chicago, we won the World Series. We were clearly better. 08 is the one I remember really well, where we went to Wrigley, we got swept, and then they came back to, at the time, U.S. Cellular, and we swept them back, and that was great because they were riding high, and the Cubs fans were riding high at that time, and then they came over to the South Side, and we swept them, and I remember that series meaning a lot, but all those series meant a lot. Living in Chicago for as long as I did for 8 years and playing for the White Sox and having friends that are fans of both teams, those six games every year were special because people on both sides of the coin and both teams wanted you to win so bad. It just meant so much for both organizations that it was fun, man. I love those games. They were the best. I mean, I played Red Sox, Yankees. I played Dodgers, Giants, Giants, A's. And those six games for some reason meant more in that city than I obviously wasn't a Mets or a Yankees guy, but those six games meant more than any other games that easily on the schedule.
Your career numbers against the Cubs, I'm looking at them, 821 career OPS. That's pretty damn good. And then at Wrigley, by the way, that's a pretty big sample, 68 games against the Cubs with various teams, obviously, 257 plate appearances. But you had five homers, 22 RBIs in 32 games at Wrigley. That place gets you going? Because you had friends in the stands, fans of both teams in the stands.
I love going there. I had a lot of non-friends in the stands. I had a lot of enemies in the stands, too, especially when I went to the White Sox. So I loved playing there. I mean, I loved it. And you ask anyone that knows me, I lived like when the other team – fans were booing me and all over me. I think my teammates liked it more than I did because they would all laugh. But I look forward to those going to Wrigley every year. What people don't know is that I was almost traded to the Cubs before I went to the Giants in the offseason of 03 before 04. And I could have been a Cub. History could have been different.
Wow. No, I didn't know that. That's a pretty famous trade. That's Joe Nathan's in that trade. Boof Bonser's in that trade.
Yeah.
And Boof Bonser, that name gets mentioned today. So what was the deal for the Cubs going to be? Were you privy to it? Did you know about it?
I don't know what the deal was. I just know LaTroy Hawkins had signed there, and we were teammates with the Twins. And he called me, I want to say the day before or right before I got traded to the Giants. And he said, hey, Dusty was there. And he said, hey, I just want you to know that I'd sign here, and Dusty called me and said they're going to trade for you. So, how would you like to be a Cub? And at the time, I was like, great. You know, I didn't know anything about it, really. And it was 03 after they had just lost, obviously, the famous Bartman year. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I woke up, I was actually I was out in Hawaii for a wedding. And I get a call, and I got traded to the Giants. And I was like, wait a minute, I thought I was going to the Cubs. What happened? So, for a while I thought I was going to go to the Cubs.
Man, you had an interesting year in San Francisco at that point. I mean, it's like I know some stuff went on, you know, the Brett Tomko stuff. I wasn't even going to go there, but now here we are talking about San Francisco. It's just you thrived on people not liking you. You said it, like you thrived on fans not liking you. Did you thrive on teammates, on getting under the skin of teammates in a different kind of way?
I don't know if that's the right word. I thrived on trying to get the most out of people, I think is, and I would,
okay.
I mean, I wasn't afraid to like say the things that most people don't say. Meaning like if a guy wasn't doing what I thought they should have been doing, then I would say something. That's the way I was kind of brought up with the Twins. And, you know what, I look at it and I say, hey, maybe I didn't say it the right way, which I don't think I'll ever be confused as like the best communicator with people. I think if you ask people that know me, I do the best I can, but I'm very honest, and a lot of times that rubs people the wrong way, and I understand why now looking at it. There are always things in life I think that look back on and say, I could have handled that differently, but it was the way I had to go about it and the way I thought was right at the time, so there was nothing. I didn't intentionally try to make people angry. It didn't bother me when people made me angry because it made me play better, but now looking back on it, I guess I didn't handle things the right way because I shouldn't have. I always thought, and now that I have kids and I'm around kids a lot more, I understand that, hey, not every person is wired the same, but it always worked for me. Like if somebody challenged me and was like, hey, you're not doing this right, then I'd be like, screw you, I'm going to show you. And not all people work that way. And now as you get older, you learn that and you become smarter about communication and handling different types of personalities.
Yeah, well, we all have stuff that we wish we did a little bit differently, but you seem to have a very good self-awareness about who you are, you know, and like what motivates you and what gets you going. And it seems like you had that early, because that kind of that feeling of like, we're better than you, we're better than you, we're better than you. You need that to be good at this game, don't you? You need that arrogance.
I don't know about arrogance, but you need to be able to lie to yourself a lot of times. You need like an inner strength in baseball, because you just don't. It's such a hard game, especially, I mean, on both sides, but especially as a hitter. And when you play every day, when you're playing, you know, 130 games, and some of these guys play 150, 160 games, there's going to be times where you're like 0-15, 0-18, 0-20. And there'd be days where I'm 0-12 and come in the lineup and we're facing, say, CC Sabathia, and I'm in there, and Ozzie would look at me and be like, "Ah," Joey Cora would laugh at me and be like, "Good luck." And I'd be like, "Well, you know what? I'm going to get a hit. I'm going to figure out a way to get a hit." Even though you feel like crap and you're really struggling and everyone's like, "What is wrong with you?" You got to lie to yourself and say, "Oh, I'm right where I need to be. I'm going to figure it out." And then a lot of times you do, but you have to be able to lie to yourself in baseball, because it's such a hard game. It's such a mental challenge every day. That's the thing about baseball, I think, in other sports, is it's every day, and it's an everyday mental challenge.
AJ, I love hearing you break down at bats. You're real good at doing games, man. It's really fun to listen to you. And I'm wondering, because I keep learning stuff all the time. Like, what have you learned about the game doing this job as opposed to being in it as long as you were? What have you continued to learn?
Well, I've learned more about the other side of it. As a player, you're so focused on yourself and your team and what's happening on the field that I've learned so much about the sabermetrics, the stats. I mean, when I got out of baseball, I was just kind of hitting. My last year was 16, so 4 years ago now. And it was just kind of – I mean, the A's were kind of the outlier. Other teams were kind of getting into it. And now it's all people want to hear about. They want to hear about exit velocity and launch angle and WOBA and WAR and all this stuff that – you know, we used to joke when I was playing, "Oh, this guy had this WAR." Well, I can tell you what, you know, Mike Trout, yeah, you don't need to tell me he has a good WAR because he's the best player going. I mean, it was like, I didn't need that stuff. But as I've learned more and more about that side and what managers look for, because if we get to talk to these managers every week and I learn what these managers are looking for and what they're trying to do with their team, that's the part that is now interesting to me. The game is the game, and the game will be the same. It's more about the strategy and what the different organizations look for and how they try to go about it. And I also learned that, man, baseball is easy from the stands. It looks so easy. I'm like, gosh, how did he miss that pitch? And then I think back to all the times I did it. And I'm like, yeah, it's really not that easy.
AJ is going to be doing a game August 25th, 9:30 p.m. with Kevin Burkhart, Fox MLB analyst AJ Pierzynski, joining us on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. All right, so get this. Those numbers against the Cubs, real good. Same minimums, 60 games, 200 plate appearances. There's only one team that you're better against. Do you know who it is?
Kansas City.
Nope. The White Sox. It's the White Sox.
Good. Good. Oh, man, I used to love because when I was with the Twins, man, we come into Chicago, and they had, like, Ray Durham and Keith Polk and Bobby Howry, and they were all talking trash when we come in there, and we just whoop them every time. It's great.
I know. I remember. I love that. I looked at that. It made me laugh so hard because those Twins, man, you guys would just destroy them, and they had a way. They had this whole model of doing stuff, and you guys were all doing it. When you got here in 2005, you know, where their Sox players are like, "Oh, great. Yeah, great. Here's AJ," because the way that you used to beat their butt when you were with the Twins.
No, they were welcome. I think it was weirder for me coming in because I was raised a Twin, right? So we had a certain way. And then I get to the White Sox, and when I've told the story a few times that when I signed and then I went to Sox Fest the first year in 05, the winter of 05. And I was with my wife, and we're in the car coming over to the convention center, wherever it was. And I was just White Sox stuff everywhere. And I remember like looking at my wife, and she kind of looked at me, and I was like, "This is just really strange." Like, she's like, "You're kind of freaked out right now." I'm like, "Yeah." Cause I mean, as a Twin and the games we had against the White Sox, and there was a little bit of a rivalry there just because of all the trash talking back and forth. I mean, it was strange. And then, but the players were great. The organization was great. So I couldn't fault them, but it was strange on my end. I don't know. I can't speak for anyone else, but on my end, it was weird. I just was happy that I was able to come over, and we obviously had a lot of success. So that made it definitely an easier transition.
It's weird to have this series without Ed Farmer for the first time in decades. I remember seeing you and Farmio arguing about Notre Dame football in the clubhouse one time. AJ, yeah. That probably happened a lot, but you know, Farmio was the good, wasn't he?
You mean that irrelevant team that's in South Bend, Indiana, that hasn't won anything since '88? That team? Yeah, I have a lot of Notre Dame friends. Notre Dame fans make me laugh because, like, when I was with the White Sox, we would have, "Oh, I'm a Notre Dame fan." I'd be like, "Have you ever been to a game?" And they're like, "No." I'm like, "Can you name anyone other than the starting quarterback?" No. I'm like, "Then you're not a fan, dude. Don't give me that." But Farmio is obviously missed. He was a White Sox lifer, even though he played for other teams. He grew up there. He loved the White Sox. And Farmio and I had ups and downs just because of that. We would talk a lot of trash to each other. But deep down, Farmio was a really good human being. And he really cared for the guys that were on that White Sox field and in that uniform and in that organization. And he is missed. And it's still not the same not to hear him. And just like it is with Hawk. I mean, Benetti does a great job. But not to hear Hawk doing the White Sox, especially the Cubs-Sox games. And, I mean, think about how much Hawk probably has enjoyed watching these last two games. And he's probably sitting every time the White Sox hit a home run, he's probably sitting there saying to himself, "You can put on the board, yes."
Just on the couch, probably.
Every time a White Sox guy hits a home run, I text all my friends and text them, "You can put it on the board," and they're getting sick of it now because all the home runs.
See, you're that guy. You're doing that. That's the thing, man. Everybody's got to have text threads alive and kicking during this game because nobody's there and nobody's next to each other at a bar. So you got to be smack talking. It's good to know you're just like us, AJ.
Of course, man. The thing is, before the series, you know, my Cubs friends were like, "Oh, the White Sox have been playing good, but you know they're about to get a true test." And then first night, I mean, homer, 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 homer. And then last night, homer, homer, homer. I was joking with Len Casper, who's a great broadcaster I've worked with Fox, and Mike Santini, who's in charge of the Marquee Network over there. And I texted them both before the game, and I was like, "Let's go Sox." And I got two thumbs down from them both. And then the home runs started flying. And I think Santini texted me back, "Well, I was thinking about hiring you, but after you text that, I don't think I can anymore." Something, you know, just goofing around. You know, it's just a playful rivalry. And I enjoy people that can watch the games. And if the Cubs go out and hammer the White Sox, which I hope doesn't happen, but if it doesn't, I'll get texts back and I'll laugh and we'll move on. I mean, it's not life or death, but it's supposed to be fun, man. That's what sports and games are all about, is having fun.
Absolutely. And these games are fun like that. You're part of the legacy forever, obviously. Is there anything that the public doesn't know about the Barrett incident? Or is there anything that should never get out about that, that the public does not know at this point?
I don't know, man. That's the one thing that everyone asks. I mean, they always ask me about that, and I've answered that question. So, I've kind of run out of answers. And as far as don't know, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I've never really heard him talk about it. I don't really care what he has to say. I mean, we've seen each other since, and we're cordial to each other. But you know, we're not hanging out anytime soon. I don't know. We knew each other before, and I thought we were friends before, and then that all happened, and kind of things changed, and it was one of those, you know, it was one of those things that happened, and people still say, "Oh, this and that." And what's funny is people don't even remember actually what happened. Most people, like White Sox fans, think that I punched him, and then Cubs fans think it's like, so they're like, "Oh, he knocked you out." You know, it's like, I'm like, "Well, no, he really didn't do anything." And it was kind of, I don't know. It's just kind of one of those stories that, you know, it's like the fish story. It gets bigger and better as the years go on, and it'll always be part of my life and my career. And it makes me laugh and it makes me smile. And sometimes, you know, my kids are at the age now where they have Google and phones and computers, and their friends bring it up. And, you know, that's the only part that's kind of funny, because then I get asked about it by my kids' friends.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's so right, that people don't remember because they think of you as the bad guy. But the Barrett, the play that he made is illegal now, to block without the ball, to block without the ball. And you only got fined. You got fined $250, right? That's not even a fine. That's right. Appetizers. That's appetizers at Joe's Stone Crab or something.
He tried to suspend me for exciting the crowd. That was my favorite. When I got the letter, and they tried to suspend me for a couple games, and it said for exciting the crowd. And that's why I was ejected, because I excited the crowd. And when I had my phone call with whoever whoever was in charge of discipline. I'm like, aren't we supposed to excite the crowd? I don't understand what the why I got, first of all, ejected and why I'm getting suspended. And then they tuned it down to $250 fine, which I still thought was excessive. But, you know, I wrote the check to them happily.
AJ, do you want to manage at all? Would you ever do it? I mean, Ross is enjoying himself. I think he's seemingly pretty good at it. I think you'd be pretty good at it. Interest?
Yeah, I'd love the opportunity. But I also look at it like, I mean, I see all these guys that have gone and done it now that I knew, Alex Cora, Aaron Boone, that were on TV, and then they go be managers, and amazing how many gray hairs they get all of a sudden. They went from, like, Aaron Boone was like the youngest looking dude. Now I see him and he's got gray hair. I'm like, Booney, man, you know, what happened? He's like, yeah, there's a lot of stress in this job. I love what I'm doing now because I still get to be in the game. I still get to be around guys. I mean, there's no COVID, and still get to talk to players and front office and managers and watch baseball. And, but of course I love the opportunity. I don't think that there's any player. I mean, there are some, but I don't think there's any player that thinks that they know baseball that, if given the opportunity, would say no to managing a Major League Baseball team. It's too hard of a job to turn down. And let's not forget, there's only 30 of those guys in the whole world. So, of course, I'd love the opportunity, but it would have to be the right opportunity. And the biggest thing is my family would have to sign on, which is the tough part.
Mm-hmm. AJ, I wanted to ask you about this real quick. You got thrown out of a game in 2014. Brandon Workman, who's still in the game and just got beat for the Phillies yesterday. But apparently you said to the umpire, give me a new ball, one that you can see. Because Workman had walked somebody, and you're like, man, this ump sucks. Give me a new ball, one you can see, and you got ejected. Is that true? And is that the best line you ever got off to an umpire? Because that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is, it's 99% true. There were some other words in there that I can't repeat on your rate, unless you want the FCC to call you guys.
No, I'm good.
I think we were getting beat up pretty good. I was with the Red Sox. We were struggling. We were in Cleveland. He'd thrown some pitches I thought were close. The pitch that I asked for a new ball was actually a ball, now that I've seen the replay, but I was just fed up with it. So I played with this guy in the minor leagues with the Twins named Shane Gunderson, who was a catcher/outfielder at University of Minnesota. And he always told this story about a guy he played with that was a catcher. And the guy got ejected for asking the umpire for a ball he could see. And I was like, yeah, that would never work. No one would ever say that. And so I was just fed up one day and ready to get out of the game. And there was a couple close pitches. And Quinn Walcott, I believe, was behind the plate. And after ball four, I just kind of handed him the ball. And I was like, hey, Quinn, I need a new ball. And he's like, why? And I'm like, I need one you can blah, 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 see. And he went to hand me a ball. If you watch the replay, he actually goes to hand me a new ball, and then he stops and he thinks about it. He's like, you're out of here. You can't say that to me. And I'm like, well, say what? And he's like, I need a ball I can see. And I go, that's not what I said. And he's like, yeah, it is. I go, no, I need a ball you can da 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 bleep 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 bleep. And he threw me out of the game. Yeah, that's a true story. It's funny though. I mean, it's a great. I'm proud. Actually, kind of proud of that one because it keeps living on. It's like the Bears story. It keeps getting better with age.
There you go. See, you need these. Add that to the pile of AJ's stories. It just get better every time. All right, man. Hey, thank you. This was fun. I appreciate the time, and I know fans love to hear you. And you've got the right spirit about this rivalry, man. It's like it's about giving each other crap. It's about going at each other and having fun, because there's bigger stuff in the world to worry about. This is supposed to be fun, right? And it is fun.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a release. And something to get your mind off of all the things, other things that are happening in the world. So enjoy it. And whoever wins tonight, hopefully it's the White Sox. I mean, I'll watch this afternoon and I'll be right there and cheering for the White Sox. I think I'm allowed to say that, but I'll be rooting for the White Sox and go Sox.
There it is. AJ, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Thanks a lot.
You got it. That's AJ Pruszynski from Fox right there. He's fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.